Continuing through the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 19. We left off last week there, verse 27. So picking it up now. Picking it up now in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat, loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. They that were sent went their way, and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If you'll pay special attention with me there to verse 34, and they say, The Lord hath need of him. We just received a card there from the McDonald's praising God for the Lord providing their needs. And thank God we know the promise of His Word that my God shall supply all our needs. Amen? According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm so glad that I serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. I'm so glad for a God that has always come through in the clutch. Always come through. They call him a clutch hitter or a pinch hitter, right? In baseball. And now, you know why they call him that? The idea is you're supposed to come through in a pinch. You're supposed to be there in the clutch situation to hit the ball, to do something so that the team can win. I'm thankful that I have a God who's always there in a pinch. A man who's always there. He's clutch, man, just in time. He's always ready. He's always there to provide our needs. Thank God for a God that always provides all of our needs. Can anybody say amen to that this morning? But now listen, with that said, there's some Christians, I think they kind of view God as just a giant Santa Claus in the sky. Amen? That's all God lives for, is to supply our needs and be good. Listen, God is not some Santa Claus. He's not some one-armed bandit we just go up to and pull the slot until we get what we want. Amen? There's more to this thing than that. And I just thought this was kind of interesting as I was looking at this and considering some things in the Bible that it says that the Lord had need of him. We're always thinking about our needs and what we need. We have prayer meeting and we come up with a list of our needs, and we're always coming before the Lord and telling the Lord what we need. But when's the last time we just said, I wonder what the Lord needs? Huh? What is it that the Lord needs? Now, according to this, the Lord needed something. You know what the Lord needed? The Lord just needed a dumb old donkey. Amen. You see, this isn't one of these. Joel Osteen churches. Y'all aware of that, right? One of these Rick Warren kind of things. You know, where the Lord just loves you and you're special, and the Lord just needs you for His. Listen, God doesn't need us. Come on now. Listen, if I had never gotten saved, if I had decided to never live one day for Jesus Christ, if I had decided to never give anything to the Lord, God still would have been God. God still would have been holy. God still would have been eternal. It wouldn't have affected God being God one bit. Amen. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. We need God. Amen. That's the difference in philosophy when it comes to that stuff right there. We don't think the Lord needs us. We think we need the Lord. Now, if that upsets you, if that offends you, you're just too stuck on yourself. You're a humanist. Amen. That's the way Satan is. He regards the things of man above the things of God. And if that offends you, that I said that it's more important about what the Lord needs than what you need, and the fact that God doesn't need you, well, I thought I was kind of special. You're not. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but you're not special. Amen. God doesn't need you. You need God. The fact that we get to do anything for God or serve God, that's a luxury. That's a privilege, amen, that the Lord gives us, but the Lord doesn't need us. You see, if God wants to get something done, well, God needed me to... No, he could have gotten somebody else. Amen. Don't ever think that, oh, how could have God done this without me? Probably done it a lot better. Amen. But we need God. That's the difference. Amen. But here we're looking at some things that the Lord does need. And from this passage, there are some things, amen, according to this passage that the Lord does need. And we find, first of all, from this passage, why was the Lord needing this dumb old donkey? Well, you know what the Lord needed? He needed to get to Jerusalem. You with me? He needed to get to Jerusalem. The Lord was just needing some transportation. And it wasn't likely back then that the Lord was going to be able to go to a bus stop. Amen. He wasn't able to stick his thumb out, you know, and thumb a ride or hail a cab. We have those luxuries today of transportation that they didn't have back then. Amen. If they were going to get around back then, they were either going to get around walking. And if it wasn't walking, then it was going to be horseback or on a donkey or a mule or a camel or, you know, something similar to that. And that would be their mode of transportation. And so the Lord needed some transportation so that he could get to Jerusalem. The Lord needed to be at Jerusalem. Why did the Lord need to be at Jerusalem? Because Passover is coming. And you know what the Lord needed to do? The Lord needed to show up as that Passover lamb. The Lord needed to fulfill what his purpose on this earth was, and that was going to be at Jerusalem to be the Passover lamb for this world, amen, to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And Jesus Christ needed to go to Jerusalem, and so going to Jerusalem, he gets this donkey, and he's going to ride on this donkey to go to Jerusalem. May I say this, listen, the Lord doesn't always have to go first class, and he didn't in his first coming. And that's his example for us, brethren. We're not always going to get to go first class. I thank God last year I was able to buy me a new car. I was able to afford payments and actually get a new car, but that'd been the first one in 10 years. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, as God's people, a lot of times we can't afford everything we want. We might not get first class. We might not be driving around in a Beamer or something because we're decided instead of putting money first that we're just going to live for God and all that. But listen, we don't mind going second class. The Lord didn't. Amen. Listen, now the Lord, the second time, guess what the Lord's doing? He's coming back at Jerusalem. He's coming right back to that same spot, the Mount of Olives. And when the Lord comes back the second time, he's coming back first class. The second time, the Lord ain't coming back on no donkey. The Lord's coming back on a bright white stallion, buddy. He's coming back first class. Amen. And he's going to come in and he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. But this time, he's going to Jerusalem not as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's going there as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Thank God he needed to go. Also, if you hold your place there and look with me in Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, that's the second to last book in the Old Testament. Right before that great Italian prophet Malachi, you find Zechariah. Look with me in Zechariah chapter 9. And verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Quickly, let me say this, number two. The Lord needed that donkey to fulfill His word. Simple as that. You know what the Lord always does, no matter what? He fulfills His word. You know what the Lord always does, no matter what? He keeps His word. To God, God is such a God of holiness. God is such a God of integrity. God is such a God of character that He will always keep His word. He will bend over backwards to keep His word. That's why I thank God for the promises in this blessed book, brethren, because I can go before my God on my knees knowing that God's always going to do what He's promised to do. And when I'm coming before God, I'm not blackmailing Him, but I'm just coming before God and saying, "Now, God, You said..." Amen. "You said You'd provide our needs. God, You said that there was nothing impossible with You. God, You said..." And you see, just telling God, reminding the Lord of what He said, that's how you ought to pray. And when you'll do it that way, you know what God's going to do? God's always going to do what He said. That's all there is to it. He's bound by His holiness to always keep His word. So He tells him, "Hey, you need to go. You need to find that colt, that foal of an ass. You need to bring it to Me because I've got to fulfill the scriptures. I've got to do it the way that I promised that I would." And God is a God that always fulfills His word. Next, if you notice back there again in Luke chapter 19, now look with me in verse 30, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at ye enter in, you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. They that were sent went their way and found even as He said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him." You know what the Lord's need is? To loose those that are bound. The Lord has a need. You know what that need is? The Lord has a need to loose those that are bound. Thank God. Thank God, our God's desire is to set free those that have been put in bondage, those that are tied up, those that are bound in the cords of their own iniquity. And the Lord just sees a dumb old donkey that's tied up, and He says, "Go and loose that donkey. I have a need of that donkey. Go ahead and set him free." You see, if the Lord doesn't loose you, you aren't loosed. That's all there is to it. You say, "Well, I went to AA and I got loose." No, you got loose from one thing and got bound to something else. You get loosed at all. Amen. You want real freedom? You want real liberty? You want to be loosed? You come to Jesus Christ. He is the one that can truly set you free. Amen. Anybody here ever been set free? Anybody here been loosed? No sense in just trading one ball and chain for another. Amen. And in Jesus Christ, you truly find that liberty. You truly find that being loosed. Hold your place there in Luke and look with me in Hebrews in chapter 2. And the thing most importantly, and I believe the Lord did for us when He saved us, and what He loosed us from here is found in Hebrews chapter 2. Look with me here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. Verse 15, and we'll start in verse 14 for the context. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Come on now. You know what the Lord did when He saved you and I? He took away that fear of death. You want to talk about being set free. Now that's being set free. I've seen a lot of educated people. I've seen a lot of people with money, but you find them on that hospital bed dying, not knowing where they're going. Oh my. Oh my. To see that look of despair, to see that fear, they haven't been set free. I thank God when I got saved, I no longer have to fear what's going to happen to my soul after I leave this world. Thank God. That's talk about being loose. That's being set free. Thank God I've been set free from condemnation. I've been loosed from the curse of the law. I've been loosed from a life of sin. Well, Brother Ray, we can't live sinless. No, but the Bible says that we can now not allow sin to reign over us. Amen. We can be set free from a reign of sin in our lives. We can be set free from the cares of what others think about us. Hey, how about that? Wouldn't you like to get loose from that? Some of you still need to get loose from that, I believe. You know why some Christians don't want to go on a street corner and hold up a Bible? You know why some Christians don't witness and stand up for Jesus Christ? You know why they don't want to stand out? Because they're too worried about what other people think about them. And one of the greatest days that you'll ever have in your life, Christian, outside of being saved itself, is the day that you'll die to public opinion. The day that you'll be set free from caring so much about what everybody else thinks about you, and all you have to worry about is what the Lord thinks about you. I mean, you want to talk about being set free, that's it. How'd you like to be set free from worry? How'd you like to be loosed from all that intrepidation and all that anxiety and all that worried about what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen next week and what's going on with America and what's on the news and why? You know, there's just man taking Valium every day to get by. Forget about it. You know, that's America today, man, the Xanax society. It's all the anxiety, it's all the worry, and thank God in Jesus Christ we can be set free from all of that. We can be loosed. The Lord has a need, and it's to see others loosed. Amen. And you can be loosed from just the folly of this world. When God decided he wanted to use a nation and he wanted to use Israel, the first thing he had to do, brethren, was set them free, to get them out of that bondage, to get them somewhere where he could do something with them. And so what the Lord wants to do is, if he's going to use you and I, the first thing he's going to have to do, he's going to have to set you free. He's going to have to get you loose. Some of you are still slave. Listen, some of you are still slave to what others think about you. Some of you are still slave to sin. Some of you are still slave to other things. The Lord has a need to set you free. And believe me, the Lord wants you set free more than you do. All you need to do is yield to him. Amen? Now, with that said, God does have a purpose. And it's a good purpose, and it's to see others loosed. Notice in verse 30, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, and the which ye enter, and ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat." Did you notice that? You understand that colt could never fulfill its purpose. It had never fulfilled its purpose its whole life until it was set free, until it was loosed. And neither will you. Amen? If you're ever going to find your purpose for the Lord, it's not going to happen until you get set free from those cords of iniquity, from what others are thinking about you, until the Lord truly sets you free. And that's when God can use you. You say, "The Lord needs me." No, he doesn't need you. But he needs to see others set free. And with that said, look there in verse 32. "And they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him." Did you notice there that it wasn't the Lord doing the loosing? You know what the Lord needed? He needed others to do the loosing for him. Huh? How about that? The Lord Jesus Christ himself did not go down and loose that colt. Are we okay? Do you understand that? It wasn't the Lord himself that did it. He needed someone else to do it for him. That's it. That's it right there. Now think about that. You know the possibility that you and I have? Is to be one of those that gets to loose others for the Lord. The Lord needs someone to do that. Amen? It doesn't have to be you. The Lord needs me. No, he just needs anybody. Are you willing to meet the Lord's need? That's what it comes down to. See, the Lord does need others to loose, but he doesn't need you, but you can get in on it if you'd like. You see how you look at that thing? You can look at that thing both ways? That's the right way to look at it, you see. The Lord is looking for others that will go and tell. The Lord is looking for others that will go and see that others are set free. When Isaiah appeared before the Lord there in Isaiah chapter 6, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up and said, "Woe is me." See, he realized right there, man, the Lord don't need me. But at the same time, the Lord said, "Who's going to go?" And Isaiah said, "I will. Here am I, Lord, send me." Amen. How about it? If the Lord said, "Who's going to go and tell others? Who's going to go and set someone else free?" Here's a fellow, Cornelius, and he's looking for the truth, but he doesn't even know where to look. And you know what happens? An angel shows up to Cornelius. And you know what that angel tells Cornelius to do? He says, "Now I want you to go and send for Simon Peter. You're going to go down there. You're going to have Simon Peter come, and he's going to tell you what you need to do." Why didn't the angel tell him? Now you see that thing? You know what the Lord's looking for? He's looking for those that will seek to please him and others that will follow the Lord to go and loose others. Who's going to go? Who's going to go? The Lord has a need to see others loosed. Are you interested in what the Lord needs? Dr. Howard Kelly lived about 100 years ago, famous medical doctor, but he was a Christian. And his profession was medical profession. He was a doctor, but he was also a Christian. And he wanted to do something he could do to serve Jesus Christ. You know what this fellow came up with? He had someone manufacture a bunch of these little golden-coated question marks. And he would wear a question mark on his doctor outfit or his suit or lapel or shirt, whatever he was wearing. He would just wear a question mark. And wherever he would go, he'd have that question mark. And you know what happened? Sure enough, where he was with somebody, someone would turn around and say, "Hey, Doc, why you got that question mark there? What's that all about?" And he did that on purpose to get an open door. And he would say, "Oh, that's concerning the most important question in the world." And of course, what's somebody going to say when he says that? "Well, what's that?" And he'd say, "What shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What have you done with Jesus Christ? What will you do with Jesus Christ?" Boom, there it is. And led thousands to the Lord, see? Wasn't a preacher, but just someone that was willing to see others set free. You know, over there in 1 John chapter 3, the Bible talks, and you can look at it if you want, over in 1 John chapter 3, he's talking about real love. And real love isn't by what you say, you see? The Bible says you have the love of God dwelling in you, and you see a brother have need, and you don't help out your brother that has need when you can. How dwelleth the love of God in you? See? You know what that's saying now? Listen, you love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Does the Lord have a need? You can help out with that need, and you don't. You don't love the Lord. The Lord has a need. It's to see others set free. Who's gonna love the Lord enough to see that his needs are met? How about it? See? That's the issue. That's the idea right there. Isn't it good to have a purpose? And that purpose to see that others are set free. But, you know, Brother Ray, just so much trouble and everybody just wants to give you a hard time. Nobody listens anymore. Well, that's not true. Some still listen. Some still getting saved. Praise God. Look for your opportunities. They'll come. So why go through all that trouble? Well, the Lord had need. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for you? It should be. The Lord has a need. See, what's the Lord's need? Look there in verse 37. "And when it was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Why is that? Hey, if these don't praise me, the stones will. Why? You know what the Lord needed? He needs praise. You know what the Lord needs? He needs to be glorified. You know what the Lord needs? He needs to be lifted up. How about it? Huh? Have we met the Lord's needs today? Doesn't he deserve our praise? Doesn't he deserve our thanks? Doesn't he deserve to be glorified and lifted up and honored? If anyone does, doesn't the Lord deserve that? Come on now, how about it? You going to praise him? And here's the thing about it. When the Lord's coming through and he's getting all that praise, I hope that donkey didn't think they were praising him. Right? I mean, think about it. Here's that donkey. He's coming in first time, right? And he's coming into Jerusalem, and all these people start praising. I wonder what that donkey was thinking. Yeah. Oh, they must be so glad to see me. This must be all about me. Maybe that was a Joel Osteen donkey or something. I don't know. They weren't praising the donkey. They didn't even notice the donkey. See, that dumb old donkey, all he was is a way for Jesus Christ to be praised. All his only purpose was to lift up Jesus Christ so that he could be honored, so that he could be glorified. Amen? Is that not our purpose, brethren? If we're going to do anything to fulfill the Lord's need, all we need to do is just be that dumb old donkey. It doesn't matter what people are thinking about us, and most people probably ain't thinking anything anyways. You think everybody's noticing you? They're not. They could care less. But you know what people need to see? You know what they need to know? You know what they need to glorify and honor? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Is he being lifted up? up? Is he being praised? I was talking to Sister Sheila about it, because she's got some health problems and everything. And I start feeling sorry for myself sometimes just because a few people are saying things that aren't true and talking bad about me and all that kind of stuff. And then I realize, well, you know, we all got to take it in the neck one way or another. I guess I'd rather take that than I would a bunch of health problems. So praise God for that. I'm not going to complain there. But you know what? We're all just a bunch of dumb donkeys. Amen. And our purpose is to simply lift up Jesus Christ so that he's the one that'll be praised, so that he's the one that'll be honored. And if I hurt your feelings because I called you a dumb donkey, get over it, please. Really? I mean, that's the whole point of the message. If you don't get anything else from it, it don't matter about us. It's about the Lord. Amen. It's about him being praised. It's about him being, it's about his needs. Not ours. Amen. We need to get off of self. If you're stuck on yourself, you're stuck on stupid. So get over it. Amen. And get stuck on Jesus Christ and looking to see him praised, looking to see his needs met. That's what we ought to be concerned with. That's what we ought to desire more than anything else. Amen. That's what we ought to want. Listen, our music ought to be about praising Jesus Christ. Well, what kind of music do you have at your church? Why are you worried about what music you like? Why aren't you worried about what music the Lord likes? You see, that's the whole problem. That's where the church got all off, right there. It's all humanistic now. It's all about, well, what I like and what I think. Who cares? What does the Lord want? What pleases the Lord? What praises God? What's going to lift him up? What's going to honor him? That's what we should be concerned with in our prayers. All of it. It should be on praising God. What God hath wrought. Famous words. What God hath wrought. You know where that comes from? There's a fellow named Morse, M-O-R-S-E. You know what he did? He invented something called the telegraph, Morse code. But he invented the telegraph, see? And that the idea is that was the way to first begin to communicate and get a message from one place to another real quick. Morse code. And the first thing that Morse code, the first thing he ever put in code and sent out was that right there, what God hath wrought. You know why? Because Morse realized it wasn't me. It was God that was gracious enough to reveal to me how to do this. So he was sure to give the glory and the honor and the praise to the one he knew deserved it. It wasn't Morse. It was Jesus Christ. Amen. What God hath wrought. That's it. That's it. Listen, brethren, we're living in a country today, unfortunately, a country that still wants the blessings of God but refuses to give the praise and the honor to God. That's it. And the Lord deserves our praise. He deserves admiration. He ought to get it. Amen. Finally, now look with me in verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Notice, if you will, there. One thing the Lord is going to need if he's ever going to do anything and use you in any way. You see what those people had to do? Before the Lord could get on that donkey, you know what they put on that donkey? Their garments. You know what they put before that donkey for the Lord to go? Their garments. Say why? Because the Lord, what was important was what the Lord needed. You know, a lot of people think today, well, the Lord needs my righteousness. You know what? All our righteousness is what? See? We're to put off the old man and put on the new. When the Lord came to Adam, where art thou, Adam? And he finds Adam. First thing he had him do is what? You got to take off them old fig leaves, buddy. You got to let me clothe you. Now, you see that thing? Listen, if the Lord's going to do anything with you, if he's ever going to use you, you know what he needs? He needs you to strip yourself of those old self-righteous rags. Amen? That old covering. You need to get rid of it. You know what the Lord needs? He needs you to quit covering up. Yes? Come on now. If the Lord's ever going to use you, you know what he needs? He needs you to come clean. When you come before the Lord, spiritually speaking, okay, I don't want anybody coming up to the altar taking your clothes off. Spiritually speaking, we okay? You understand what I'm saying? Spiritually speaking, you know what has to happen when you come to the altar? Spiritually speaking, when you come before God, if you want to do business with God, if you want God to somehow use you, you know what he needs? Tell you what he needs. He needs you to strip yourself of you, of all the phoniness, of all the self-importance, of all the self-righteousness, and say, Lord, you don't need me. Lord, I need you. But Lord, if you can do something with this, I'll be that old donkey. Lord, if there's somehow I can just lift you up. Lord, if there's somehow you could be praised. Lord, if there's somehow your needs can be met. Lord, that's what's important to me. Not my will, but thine be done. Let's stand for prayer.